This is HPR episode 2641 entitled, Liverpool Make First 2018, interview with Rachel from the Microbit Foundation, and is part of the series, Interviews. It is hosted by Tony Hume aka Tony H1212, and is about 9 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, this is a short interview recorded at this year's Liverpool Make First with Rachel from Microbit.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is Tony Hughes for Hacker Public Radio. I'm still at Liverpool Maker Fest and I've got with me
Rachel Lancaster.
And what are you doing here, Rachel?
I've come here today to A, support Josh, who's of Edgebox, and also I'm teaming up with Les Pounder and we're doing a bit of a Microbit hands-on activity. Just getting kids engaged.
You actually work for the Microbit Foundation?
I do, that's right, yeah. I joined them about 9 months ago now. My official title is Head of Product and Channels. I spend a lot of time out in the community at events like this, talking to educators, learning what it is that we need to do as a foundation to support them in their teaching.
Could you tell us a little bit, for the listeners who may have never heard of the Microbit, a little bit about what it is?
Yeah, of course. So the Microbit board was kind of born. It was made up by a team at BBC Learning. They recognised that there was a huge shortage of engineers, and BBC, along with 29 founding partners, created the board. And they distributed the Microbit to every Year 7 student in the UK. It was just short of 1 million pieces. They thought that this was a fantastic way of getting kids interested in programming and to sort of unleash their own creativity. So the idea was we would give the microbits to the schools and the schools would then distribute them to the students, and the students would take them home and have their own sort of learning and creativity at home, and they could perhaps bring it back into the school to inspire other students. So the foundation was born after that. So the foundation's about 18 months old now. And the aim of the foundation now is to kind of spread the mic a bit further and as far as we can, with particular focus on girls and disadvantaged groups. So our main aim, our number one goal, is just to ensure that kids can have their best digital futures.
You know, you said the original distribution of over 1 million microbits to schools. Did it actually work in the way it was envisaged?
I don't think it worked 100% in the way, but it was certainly a huge success. I think, having spoken to hundreds of teachers in my 9 months at the foundation, I've learned that the teachers originally didn't have maybe the support that they needed to be able to take the microbits out of the box and have the confidence to deliver a session on Microbit in the classroom. So we've worked really hard over the last year, certainly, on producing more sound resources, being more involved in the community, right, and helping support teachers.
So that's where things like Josh's project with the Edu blocks comes in, because it can link into the Microbit.
Yeah, so all these editors are a fantastic help, because Edubox especially, because that's a lovely transition tool. So a lot of kids in primary school will be learning how to use Scratch from sort of year four onwards. So if kids are going into high school with a bit of basic knowledge on Scratch, then we can use Edubox with the Microbit and make the transition from the block-based programming into a text-based program, which is like Python. So it's a perfect tool to sort of help guide the students through that without it being too intimidating.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about your own background?
Yeah, it's quite boring, really. I worked for an electronics company for 17 years before joining the Microbit Foundation. That's been my only job, so I didn't go to college, I didn't go to university. I just decided that I really wanted to do work and earn money when I left school, so I kind of popped into the shop at CPC and said to Dawn, who was the manageress then, at the time the trade counter, I said, hey, give a job. And she asked me to come back for an interview, and I kind of was there ever since, and I sort of worked through various different departments within CPC, and eventually I became the product manager for education and maker, so I was in charge of sourcing new products and sort of negotiating on contracts and things like that, and then that wasn't enough, so I then took on the business development role as well, which meant that I went into schools and kind of sold my products into schools to say, you know, you need this in your computer science lessons, you need these tools in order to help you deliver that part of the curriculum. So I was in delivering sort of workshops for the teachers and the sales staff that would speak to the teachers as well, how to use the Raspberry Pi, Microbit and Codebook. And so yeah, I already had a good relationship with the Microbit Foundation because I was looking after the UK distribution for Premier Farnell, who actually manufacture and distribute the board anyway. So I kind of, I knew of the foundation. I thought the Microbit for me was a kind of light bulb moment. I kind of thought, yeah, I can really see kids going for this product. And it was really easy to use. I've not got any coding background or engineering background, but I thought, actually, if I can do it, and the kids are bound to be able to do it. So yeah, it kind of, I got hooked at that point, and I started attending events like the one that we're at today and going along to Raspberry Jams and getting more involved in the community. And when I was offered a job at the Microbit Foundation, I jumped at that opportunity to have even more involvement and immerse myself in it.
We're just getting a public service announcement.
A quick roundup of a couple of things coming up. In a few minutes, Awesome Football will be hearing pitches from three awesome makers who are looking for £500 to fund their project, which include upcycling plastic, developing clothing in developing countries, and the Curbinator, which is a button that helps people detect curbs so they can get around better. Also, 12 till 1, we've got an e-textiles workshop up on the first floor. And around about 1:30, we're going to have glass blowing out at the front. So that's the Awesome Awards starting around the COSY conference. E-textiles until about 1 on the first floor, and glass blowing this afternoon. Have an amazing afternoon, everybody.
I'll probably edit that out. I know I've seen some of your own personal stuff around fabrics and electronics. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, like I've said previously, I've not got much of a technical background, and so for me, using electronics with fabrics or craft materials is such a simple but fun and engaging activity. So you know, just learning how to make an LED light up using a coin cell battery for kids in primary school, that's amazing. And so why not add a craft project around that? Why not add a bit of conductive thread and get kids learning how to sew something, and then take it a step further and, you know, have a sensor on there as well. It's so simple. You start off with something really straightforward and you can easily add to it.
Yeah, so they're learning the skill of electronics, but they're also learning skills around repairing clothes and things at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't think, I mean, when my mum was young, she was taught how to sew. You know, I wasn't necessarily taught those same skills, so kind of it's almost like bringing those skills back and then adding more to it. So all the sort of after school workshop activities that I do at my children's school always involves LED, conductive thread and a bit of felt. We'll make an animal, and we'll add a switch if we want to, or we'll add a light sensor or a motor, you know, if we're feeling a little bit more energetic.
Is there any links that we can go to where we could find these on the web?
Oh, none for my personal stuff, but of course there's lots of ideas and tutorials and resources on the Microbit website, and that involves a lot of craft activities as well as sort of traditional electronics. So yeah, I just advise you just go onto the Microbit website, the ideas page, it's fantastic.
So what's the web address for that?
So that's just microbit.org, and then it's /ideas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.